Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Angela Alberti.
Well, hello, Ivy Podcast listeners. You might be tuning into us on the Ivy Podcast or the Workforce Agility Podcast, wherever you are tuning in from today. We want to thank you so much for joining us. I love doing these shows because I have a chance to sit down with people that are in this unique industry of staffing and recruiting, and that today is the case. People, I'm your host, Angela Alberti. Like I said, thank you for joining us. I have the privilege to interview Connie Rose, CEO of Empire Recruiters, CEO and female founder, and just general amazing person that I've had the chance to get to know over the course of the last couple of weeks. Connie, so nice to have you on the show. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Give us that 90-second elevator pitch on who you are.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on Ivy Podcast. Well, I am an insurance professional. That's my niche market in staffing and recruitment. By accident, I got into the insurance industry by accident, and I got into staffing by accident. Sorry about that. And I began my insurance career in 84, spent 15 years inside the business as an agent and account manager, done some production. Then I went to underwriting at the carrier level. Long story short, I was a volunteer person for staffing. I was the employment liaison with a National Association of Insurance Women. And I did that for a few years just to help out the members. And a staffing agent recruiter was the proud recipient of all of my referrals. And they kept trying to get me to go to work for them, and I wouldn't do it. So fortunately for me, there was a layoff in underwriting, and that's kind of, I was in between jobs, and they were calling and calling like every few months. And I said, I got nothing to lose. Let's give it 90 days, see how it goes. So I never looked back because it combined.
And how long ago was that?
1996.
Wow.
That's awesome. So, you know, it's been a great ride. I love helping people, but just by nature, I'm a person of service. I'm an empathic type person, and I love doing it. You know, what a better way to help out humanity than to give someone a job and help them get a position where they can, you know, take care of their families and themselves, right?
And so I could not agree more. I think that there's something really sacred to what you guys do in impacting a person's livelihood. So thank you for that overview. Now, you have seen this industry evolve. I'm sure you have the firsthand spin at it being the entrepreneur. Can you shift us through a little bit of what your general thoughts are on the way that the industry has changed, the ups and downs that you've seen, and where we are today?
Okay. There have been a lot of changes. What is driving every company now, and it did back then, was IT, technology. Mm-hmm. I have seen from the days of the whiteboards in the offices with the markers, you know, keeping track of incoming jobs and jobs placed and jobs during interview, all that was a nightmare. When I look back, I can't even imagine doing that today without a CRM. But the CRM that I remember vaguely coming in around 96, 97 was called CPAS. It was horrible. So it took you 10 minutes to just get a couple things entered. You know, it was very click, 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 click. It was nothing like today. That's the big major change just inside the staffing office, right? Then a lot of federal laws regarding Department of Labor procedures and policies and E-Verify and people being citizens to work in the country. Tremendous change across those platforms. And then you have the change in people. Okay, the different generations. I think we still got about four different generations inside
that's
the office.
Right.
And that's the big challenge. And the people of my generation, not mentioning my name, but the people of my generation, we were hard workers and we worked till 7 at night and we didn't take our vacations. And, you know, I worked till it'd be dark, you know, I'd work till dark and still do that sometimes. But so the changes in the marketplace as far as how jobs are acquired, you know, is driven by technology. It used to be if you didn't know somebody at a company, you couldn't get the job. Well, thank goodness that's gone. You know, social media, which is also technology, has driven it to just a very high level where it makes it very seamless, okay, to search, makes it very seamless to apply, all of that. And I have reflected on that a lot. Like I'm in my CRM and I'll pull a search and it's just like that. Here comes everything. And I'm going down my list. And I remember the hour upon hour upon hour that it took to do what might take me 30 to 45 minutes now.
Wow.
And that frees up your time, right? To either acquire more candidates or acquire more clients or look at ways to improve operations in your offices.
So it really is utilizing technology to not, you know, you've seen some things that say, oh, the recruiter will become extinct thanks to technology. But this is more so, what can I do to enhance what I do every day?
Exactly.
Now, you mentioned something that I think is fascinating. It's just talking about this current climate and the candidate-driven market that we are in. And we've had a chance to speak on this a couple of times now, but a lot of what you do, Connie, and I'm sure a lot of recruiters can relate to this, it's not just land people jobs. It's not that easy. It's very much a consultative approach that you take with each client to educate them on how to maximize their retention and their candidate interviewing strategies. What are those consultations that you're giving right now to your clients to ensure that they're capitalizing on this very different, very competitive candidate-driven market?
Several things. One, I tell them, and two, I follow up with evidence, hard copy evidence. So they don't think, I'm trying to drive the salary up, you know, to benefit the company. Right.
Right. So, of course.
Because if we do our job, the money will come. Do your job well, the money will come and you won't have to worry about it. So I tell them what the market salaries are for these positions, the minimum to the maximum. I tell them what the benefit, I tell them what their competitors are doing and that the people that are getting the staff that they need. And then I leave it with them. I say, this is what it is. Mm-hmm. If you don't agree, here's some evidence. If you still don't agree, I wish you well, but we can't work with a below market salary or below market or no benefits. We can't work with that.
It's not possible.
And the other thing I do on the other side of the fence with the candidate, and I actually send them a list of like 25 tips and tricks to how to retain top talent. That's little to no cost. You know, the things that are, you know, like I've got clients that have a detail guy come out every Friday and detail the people's car in the parking lot. It's not a big expense, you know, but it really makes the employees feel good. All right. Little things like that. That's just one example. And I'll tell this to people. And a lot of people take me up on it. Some people don't. Some people say, yeah, I'm going to do it. And they don't do it. I leave it with them, but I provide the information. I go the extra mile. That's what a recruiter brings to the table. And on the candidate side, I always send an email to a candidate when I usually go after what I want. I chase what I want because I'm a niche market. So I say, I would very much like to speak with you. This is my rote email. I'd very much like to speak to you about your resume and your career objectives. And then we can discuss our open positions. Because until I know you and where you've been and what you want, I don't know which one of my openings is going to be the best fit for you or the client. So I make that the recruiter brings that market knowledge, that people knowledge, that personality to gain trust, to gain respect. All of that doesn't come off a social media platform. You can put anything on that social media, but when you come on video or phone and you talk to me and you realize that I know exactly what I'm talking about, for better or for worse, if you say you like it or don't like it, right? People say to me all the time, and they give me references inside LinkedIn, and they say, she listened to me. She asked me what I wanted. You know, I told a client this morning that lost a really good person. I said, I told you it's a hard market. You've got to be on it. I know you like these personality profiles and I agree, but give it to them after you hire them. I said, because you've taken 4 or 5 days to get these test results back in. And now I've got a call yesterday that we've lost the person.
That's right.
They're gone. And he was so upset. He sent her an offer anyhow. I went, she's already accepted another offer. Please don't do that. It doesn't look professional, you know, but he was so upset. But these kinds of things that you think the client knows, you know, like you need to, you see something that you like, you know, we've already pre-screened them. you need to step forward and make an offer. Once you talk to them on the phone or video, just make an offer. We can do some other
things. Jump on that.
Yeah, jump on that. And I won't forget, when I got that email this morning from that client, he had this little sad face on his email, you know? He's like,
and that's just the market that we're in, right?
It's just the market.
What are you guys doing? Because you know this industry. You lived through it in 2008. So to our listeners that weren't in the industry in 2008, we were going through a very deep and much more severe than I think COVID caused us recently. This was a severe recession. Yeah. So you've seen the good. Right now, times I think are great for the recruiting industry. You have a plethora of orders and a plethora of demand. It really is more about aligning that talent and finding that talent. But you've also seen the reverse of that. How do you prepare your business to be able to be agile to market conditions, depending on what the demand is or what the demand isn't?
When you go through a recession like 2008 and for like 5 years, I guess it went on forever. I can still vividly remember. The only way you survive it is you go within. All of our answers are within. I knew who I was. I had not changed. My business style had not changed. My value had not changed. And I knew that it was the market that changed. So I stayed in it. I didn't make any money, very little. I lowered my rates. I went to the client's offices. I said, what can I do to help you? I know that you're not hiring right now, but let me know what I can do. What value can I bring to you during these very difficult times? And I sat with some people who actually cried. Well, for every person policy owner, we get to drop out. These kinds of just like, I don't know what we're going to do, you know, and they'd be very upset, but I would come in because I knew they were where I was, right? They're losing business. I'm losing business, but there's still, you've got to look for what do you do as a recruiter that can add value in time of crisis. And I just made a list. I started calling, can I come see you? Well, they weren't doing much. So yeah, come by, you know, I'd go by, I would take, you know, cookies or anything that wasn't super expensive, I would take it. I would sit with them. I would talk with them. I would call. Candidates would call me. I'd say, this is a time where we can get our resume fixed up. We can change things around. So when the market does open up, you're ready to go. You know, let's get up on video. Let me see, you know, I'm looking at your resume. Let me send you some samples. I would tell the clients, I would say, you know, this is what we can do. You can put some things in place in order when you do start hiring again, you can retain people. And we would discuss,
wow,
what can I do? And I did that and I did it. And every time there was a luncheon, I went. And every time there was some little mini conference or weekend thing, I went. You know, even if I wasn't able to get business out of it, I stayed in the market. I stayed high profile. And I suffered with them. You know, I let them know you're not in it alone. And they were just grateful to have somebody come by and talk about it. You know, nobody would talk about bad stuff. You know, like, we don't want to talk about it. I would talk about it. I would say, I know it's tough. And they're like, yeah, it's tough. And I'm like, it's tough for me too. You know, but don't hesitate to pick up the phone or the email or the text and come to me if there's something I can do. You know, and there were many of them who did. And it was simple things, you know, like, you know, just come by and, you know, you do a lot of reading, you do a lot of research, you know what the market is doing. Come by and educate us on that. I even went by and educated people because social media really had come, but it was still emerging. Still emerging. So I engrossed myself in that. I kind of enrolled myself in LinkedIn Learning University, you know. So me and another friend of mine in the industry, we taught social media. So when it went flat, you know, and there wasn't a lot of B2B going on, I would go and teach social media to my clients. I would educate them on how to improve their profiles and I would sit there with them. And I would do that kind of stuff.
Evolving
people to get ready because what goes down must come up and vice versa.
That's right. And who did they think of? That was you.
A few months ago, I went to Stone Mountain to an Allstate agent and I spoke with them about social media and sent them links and told them how to do it. I couldn't sit over there and do it because we're too busy, but I gave them the information. They already have social media corporately, right? But they need it locally to get that local business. And they were very grateful. I went twice, drove all the way from Woodstock to Stone Mountain. And I didn't mind doing it because they've given me business. They've been a good business partner. They for me, me for them. So that's how you push through. And that's how you bring value. You can always bring something. Always.
That's wonderful. Thank you. I think that a lot of our listeners are going to find a lot of value in the advice that you are giving them when it comes to building and maintaining a reputation. Now, I want to kind of take it on at a personal level. You know, you are a female founder, CEO, entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give Connie back in 1996? Or what advice would you give those female listeners that are maybe at the big agency, maybe looking to go out on their own, to prepare them for the big jump, the big leap of faith?
Know who you are and what your value is, and don't let anybody tell you different. If you need to educate yourself, educate yourself. We all know where our strengths and weaknesses are. You know that, and don't step down for anybody, because there's always going to be your cheerleaders and there's always going to be your haters. Mm. Okay. Cheerleaders have been where you are and been beyond it, and they're cheering you on because they know that it's worth it. The haters usually don't have, I guess, the work ethic or the desire, whatever, to achieve beyond what you can. Whatever you can dream, you can do it, but it doesn't come easy. You have to work. You have to work at that task, whatever it is, whether it's recruitment, it's recruitment. If it turns a dark 30 and you don't have anybody to send out to your clients, you stay on that desk until you find something that you can send to them, right? Stand in your power, stay humble, work hard, and keep pushing forward, even when obstacles are going to come. I mean, it's coming. We don't know when or what it is, but it's coming. But no matter if it's a recession, a depression, a war, you know, whatever, stay visible, stay positive, and know that if you do your very best, you're going to reap reward. Going to reap it. There's no way that you won't reap it. Mm-hmm. No way. And just believe in yourself. Don't stay focused about pushing your company forward, getting it all together. You know, get yourself some professionals to help you, because nobody knows everything. When I started the company, I got a lawyer, I got a tax CPA, I got a business analyst, and a bunch of other business people that I just knew inside the industry that started insurance agencies and companies. And I went and spoke with them, and they shared this to me. And I went to other recruiting agencies where they, to the owners. I remember one vividly. I was at Atlanta Claims Conference, and my competitor, I had just started, it was 05, and my competitor was like right across the way from me, and I knew her, I liked her, I'd worked with her. I go over, and she was probably 35 years older than me or so, roughly, and I was talking to her about the business, and she leans back, and she goes, "Don't worry about it, you're going to be just fine, because you know what you're doing." I never will forget what she said that, and she's passed away now, but I always think of her, you know, whenever it gets tough. I always think what she said, "Don't worry about it. Just keep doing what you know to do and making a difference. And don't worry." I know we worry about money. We've got to have money to run a business, but there's always ways to get money. There's always ways to do that. If you've got a good widget and people want that widget, you'll find somebody to back you to push that widget to market. You don't have to worry about that. It'll come. Worry about your product quality and who you are. And I can't stress it enough. Continue to educate. Like, I got a couple careers going on, three: recruitment, which is part of HR, then insurance, right? I've got to stay up on what's all going on. And so I keep up with the recruitment and all that through my LinkedIn profile, my LinkedIn learning platform. They send me something every day about, "Great, keep it going. You've hit so-and-so." And they give you these little stickers, you know, to encourage you to do more LinkedIn learning. And right. Then also, insurance education is paramount too, because you can have 10 years of 1 year experience. So you can't just rest on your laurels. You've got to know what's going on out there, you know, mm-hmm. and the only way to know is you might have to take your Saturday. You might have to take your Sunday. You might have to sit up there in front of the computer screen. and study that commercial property information, right? Right. So just know who you are, stand in your power, and do what you know how to do, and just keep it moving forward.
Yeah. And stay in the breadth and the know of the depth of whatever industry it is. What is your content diet? What are you constantly looking to? Well, you mentioned LinkedIn learning, but insurance is so unique. So I guess this is a two-part question. Question number one, what is your content diet when it comes to learning insurance? Question number two, what is so unique about the insurance niche that you are in that maybe somebody outside of staffing and recruiting should prepare for?
Okay, I have to ask you that second one again. Learning, okay.
Right.
I subscribe to a lot of associations, trade associations.
Okay.
I also subscribe to a lot of journals. Trust and know, they keep you covered up with opportunities for learning. It's this webinar, that seminar, this class, this luncheon. If I could do nothing but go to these things, I could do nothing but sit and do these things. But what I do is I find something that catches my attention. Right. Rutgers sends me a lot of stuff like that. I find something that catches my attention and I go ahead and put it on my calendar. Some of these things you pay for, some of these things are free, especially if it's virtual. There is a tremendous amount. It's so much easier now than it used to be. Tremendous amount of virtual learning for either little to no cost. I attend several of those a week, you know, in addition to volunteerism. And sometimes they're in LA and it's like 8 o'clock my time, you know, and it's their 5 o'clock their time. And I get on it anyhow and participate. And it comes from everywhere. You know, it's everything from insurance training or insurance knowledge. And it could be excess and surplus lines, standard lines. It could be, you know, the effects of the war and how that's going to affect, you know, war and terrorism policies. And it gets kind of
interesting.
It's very interesting. And I'm like, ooh, that I signed up for that one. So what was the second question?
So the second question then is, what advice would you give to somebody that's maybe in the staffing industry, right? And looking to potentially go into insurance. And this, you know, I become fascinated with staffing because it is in this country, at least, it's highly niche. You know your industry and you know it in and out, and you place candidates within that. What do you think is that thing that makes the insurance industry unique and unique from other industries that maybe somebody is accustomed to recruiting for?
Okay. The insurance industry, you've got to remember, is vast and it's global. There's not an entity anywhere that doesn't have insurance. And in every country, every state, it's regulated by the states in the United States. In other countries, it's different. And I'm not aware of that. That could be something I could learn, right? You know,
like, there you go.
Speaking you know, of like learning. In China, you know, how do they regulate insurance? You know, that's something I might be thinking about to learning. So you have to do that. And you have to, I don't get off on a bunny trail. So I want to keep it straight. You have to, if you don't know insurance and you want to get into it, right? I've had people say that. I'd like to get into that insurance recruitment. You better find someone who knows it. Mm-hmm. Okay. You might be a great salesperson. I just talked to a guy. He's an IT guy and he bought 2 insurance agencies. He doesn't know what to do and he's panicking. Because a senior person is leaving in 2 weeks. And he called me 2 days ago. And he's like, you got somebody yet? You got somebody yet? Because he knows his vulnerability. And I know his fear. And I feel it. Like I can feel it talking about it. I said, don't worry. Some of these other people, they have people in their offices. I'm going to set it aside. I'm going to drill down and get you what you need before your person leaves. Because you need a subject matter expert in your office if you don't know the matter. If you don't know that subject, you need to put someone there who does. You can find recruiters, okay? You can find recruiters, but it's very hard to find a person, especially in the insurance industry. Mm-hmm. So you find an insurance person and you turn them into a recruiter. That's what happened to me, okay? That's how it has to be because the insurance industry is multi-layered. I'll give you something simple like an auto policy. Okay. There's a lot to an auto policy. It's not just, you know, for example, fill out the application, you know, where you live, what kind of year, make and model, what condition it's in, you know, who are the drivers, who's living in the household. I mean, all these questions, that's what the application is for. And if they see something they don't like when it goes up to underwriting, they're going to kick it back down to the account manager. So you got the independent agent on the corner, right? Or you got like a franchise, which is still on the corner. You got those people. And then you've got the insurance broker who they're funneling business to that they can't write. And then you've got the carrier, right? So all of these entities work together and each one of them has a function. You have to learn that stuff over years and years of working at it, right? And talking to people, you know, and we have our own language, by the way, we have our own language in insurance, you know?
So it's understanding not just the industry, the nomenclature, and really having that mentor, that guide, that training SME, subject matter expert that can help you. And I think so much of that applies to life in general, right? You got to know, you have to lead and learn from people that have come before you and that know how to work in and out of the industry. One of the things, this is perhaps a, quite honestly, it could be a loaded question. It's very philosophical. You go on LinkedIn and anyone that's a part of this industry is speaking on things that are the future of work. The future of work is here, or the future of work, we need to prepare for X, Y, and Z. Technology is going to take over. Mm-hmm. In your opinion, Connie, what is the future of work to you?
You think on that first, just spit something out. The future of work is not solely dependent on what one person thinks. The future of work is driven by industry, it's driven by economy, and it's driven by individuals. Okay. And each industry is a little different. We just touched on the insurance industry, how global it is. It's one of the five pillars of economic sustainability inside a country. Okay. Everybody inside finance or banking will tell you that, and the insurance industry will tell you that. So the goal is not to know what everyone's doing, but what you need to do in your area. Let's just say you live in Little Tree, Omaha. What's happening in Little Tree, Omaha? You start there in that local community with what the staffing and what industries are there. What are the biggest industries there? Mm-hmm. What do they need? How can you fill that? Let's just say mm-hmm. it's insurance, but it could be something else. Say it's insurance. Then you research and see how many insurance agents and companies or entities, I would say, are inside that area, inside that state. And then you take it from there. You take it on a local level to a state level. Then you go to a regional, national, international, any company, even Microsoft. They started in a garage. Now look at them. That didn't happen overnight.
That's right.
And they went,
that's right,
dumb, 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 you know, and as they grew and they pushed forward, they were bringing in people that they needed. And to this day, they're still doing it. Okay. AIG, huge company. A lot of people don't know this, but a very gutsy insurance company. They are global. They were one of the first insurance companies that wrote insurance in China. When everybody was like, no way. They were like, I'm a player. And they're that way today. They're a player. There's others like them, you know, not trying to just plug them, you know, but they're strong financially, you know, based out of New York, down in Manhattan, you know, and it's full of people that know the insurance product, but they're all individuals from the top down. And so it's very unique, and you cannot grow a staffing agency or any company without meeting the local need and pushing forward from there. And you have to build a team around you. You cannot do it by yourself. And if you think you can, you're wrong. You've got to build a team or you're not going to grow.
Right.
You know, your subject matter expert, some people are good at operations. You might get big enough where you need an office manager or an operations person. You know, then you've got the CEO, but he can't be answering the phone. You know, it's not that it's a lowly job. It's just that his knowledge and his value needs to be somewhere else.
course.
Okay. Yeah. So you got to know where to put your value. You know, my value is the knowledge of insurance. My value, really, I can do full desk recruitment. I've been doing a long time. Where's my value? Getting that client, because I can go in and speak the language. Mm-hmm. And I can put my money where my mouth is, right? I can talk to them about a candidate and I say, oh, well, this is really good because, you know, they're over here at an independent, but they got E&S. They work with brokers all the time, you know, blah, blah. I mean, I can just start talking at a speed and a gait and they understand everything I'm saying, mm-hmm. right? So that person at the local level garners and secures trust in the brand, in the logo, whatever you call it, that you say you're doing. So for us, it's insurance recruitment. And then you say, is it just, you know, what kind of insurance? Well, all life, health, property, casualty, benefits. We even go into claims where there's property restoration companies involved. We get into that too, because somebody got to come in and put tarps on buildings and board up windows and things like that, suck up water, all that when you have a flood or a fire, you know, an office place or at a home. Who's coming in? First responders. See, and how do we know about those people? Because that's tied to claims. You won't ever have a loss, even in your own home. Those first responders will come in ahead of that claims adjuster. Always, always, always. Their trucks will be rolling through the night, through the night. And if anybody hears this podcast that works at a property restoration company, they'll be like, that's right, that's right. You know, they will say that. So it's, you know, it's growth in increments.
Wonderful. Awesome. Awesome. Connie, thank you. You know, as we're wrapping up today's session, I would love to know what what is the best way that we can get in touch with Connie so that our listeners know where to reach out to you?
Okay. First of all, head to the web. The URL is empowerrecruiters.com. That'll take you there. And there's a contact us. But if you want to the cell phone, I put my cell phone on the website. Why? I'm the owner. I want to be contacted. If you want to know something, cell phone numbers out there. I'm out on LinkedIn. We have two platforms, one under empowerrecruiters.com and then under my name, Connie Rose, there's another. So there's two. I'm leveraging down on everything I can get, right? And I have two platforms on Facebook under the same name, Empower Insurance Recruiters, and also under my name, Connie Rose. As well, I have a Twitter account. What else? Instagram account.
You got it all. Connie Rose, you find her on Instagram. The only thing, you know, personally, I have not yet gotten to the TikTok craze myself. So one day if I see you doing TikTok videos, I know that you.
I watch TikTok, but I haven't. The insurance in me has not made me go there, but I watch TikTok. It's quite entertaining. And on these, like on Google. Recruiter, Empire Insurance, or Recruiter Connie Rose. I pop up on the first three pages.
Boom. There's the search keywords.
It pops up.
She's got it figured out. That is awesome. Connie, it has been wonderful to speak with you today. I think that you are just a breath of fresh air, and I love how genuine and real you are. And really all the advice and wisdom that you've been able to share with us. I know that our listeners will find value from it. And hopefully we can find other ways to collaborate with one another, because I think that this is an industry where it is a tight niche and it's rapidly evolving around us. Right. And the best way to navigate these waters is learning and growing from one another. Just like you've referenced and given so many examples of in your own personal experience. So thank you so much for spending some time with us today. And thank you as well to our listeners who have tuned in to spend some time with us also. As I end every single episode, you know, time is a valuable thing. It's a valuable asset. It's something that we can't ever get back. So we appreciate you, Connie, for spending some time with us and to our listeners. Of course, we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Of course.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.